Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Tuesday. Good morning. Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. You're locked into the Fan. Daniel, how are you?
I am very well, my friend. Let me tell you why. I like when bad processes, I like when things should go a certain way, and then they don't for a while. And it's almost like a tease. It's almost like you get smacked in the face with a fish a little bit, and you have to deal with it. You got to swallow down your own bile. You have to choke on the fact that something that shouldn't be happening is happening. And eventually there's a market correction. The Chicago Bears stink on offense. They shouldn't be 5-1, and they got exposed last night. No offensive touchdowns. Nick Foles was not coached by Andy Reid or Doug Peterson. Therefore, he regressed to form. That's what should be happening to them way more often. That game against Tampa now looks like that much more of an anomaly. I'm weirdly glad that the Chicago Bears lost last night. I shouldn't have anywhere near that emotional stake in a game that doesn't directly affect the team that I love and root for and care about. But for some reason last night, I'm sitting there just nodding my head going, yeah, Sean McVay. Yeah, buddy. Go get it. Go spread out the wealth. And go sack Nick Foles a bunch of times. And you guys go put up a bunch of points and you dominate an opponent that's not that good. I was really happy last night, and it's really weird.
That is very weird. I can't believe you were that invested in Chicago.
I was really excited that it happened.
It's something. I don't know. That's interesting. I'm doing well myself, so I should let you know a little fair warning here. I think we'll be all right because I'm secluded in the basement.
All right.
But there are two chihuahuas at the house today. We got the in-laws in town who are hanging out with us for a couple of days, and their dogs, Jasmine and Daisy, are in the crib with the French bulldog. And so occasionally that is a volatile mix.
Wow.
And you could get some noise. You could get some barks. If someone leaves the door open, potentially, they could make appearances on the show. So the Thom Sportsbook, I don't know if they're just taking everything off the board or what, but we've got an extra couple of people and two dogs in the house.
Yeah, we pulled it down. We're going to be reassessing as we go throughout the day, gather some research, and then we'll post a number later.
All right, very good. Thank you, Thommy. I mean, the bottom line is I couldn't be further away from everyone. Like, I'm in the corner of my basement, and they are all upstairs, and there is a locked, closed door between us. But just thought I would let you know, Danny, off the top for the ongoing game as to who other than me and you is heard on this show. But specific to Monday Night Football, I'll start with the Rams, actually, the winners last night who are 5-2. I think the Rams are a contender in the NFC, and I was wrong about them in this regard. I thought they were going to regress and kind of take a step back, and I just don't really believe all that much, to be honest with you, and Jared Goff getting them over the top. However, where I now think the Rams can win is I think their defense is very good. And you saw it again last night. They did get the benefit of playing a bad Chicago Bears offense and a quarterback in Nick Foles. Are we allowed to admit yet that he's not very good, or do we still have to pretend like he's better than we've always known? I mean, he is who we thought he was, right? He's basically a fringe backup, like the 28th best starter, the 24th best starter in the league, and he got hot and won a Super Bowl that time. But the Bears' offense stinks. That's true. I think they ran into a buzzsaw last night in the Rams, who can rush the quarterback, who don't give you time in the pocket, who tackle really well, who are athletic in the secondary. Jalen Ramsey's one of the best corners in the league and makes plays. I actually think L.A. is a viable, legitimate contender out of the West, and it has almost nothing to do with McVay's offense, which, when they get the right matchup, I think can be explosive and potent. There's going to be weeks where what happened yesterday happens, where Jared Goff's just okay and they don't make a lot of big plays and they run the ball a lot. But L.A. is a lot better than I thought they were going to be.
So there are – what happens when we get more and more data, right? It just in anything. This is in all walks of life. This is not just with sports, but anywhere. When you get spikes or you get something that's weird, we can start to look more and more at them as outliers. And here's what I mean. I didn't properly have the Rams defense categorized, I think, a few weeks ago. Because I saw that Buffalo Bills game where that was – Big 12 football. You know, that was Oklahoma, Texas Tech, you know, 2014, where it's you know, 35-32, could have been even higher. Just back and forth, the Rams couldn't stop anybody. And Josh Allen was in his renaissance Josh Allen phase, where he was the MVP of the league or close to it for the first four or five games. And I'm going, Rams defense is fine, but, you know, against a good opponent, yada, yada, yada. Well, more data points exist now. Shoved it on the Giants, rightfully so. The Giants are terrible. Shoved it on Washington, rightfully so. Washington's terrible. Shoved it on the Bears, right? Wait a minute, hold on. These are 9 points, 10 points, 10 points allowed. Now you look back at what they did to the Eagles. You look back at what they did to the Cowboys when they were a lot healthier with only 17 points. And I'm going, we got an outlier here. This Bills game's an outlier. And really that San Francisco game may even be an outlier where San Francisco moved the ball with some ease against them. That defense is really good. I don't know if it's great, GP, but they're good. At a minimum, it's a very good defense.
Yeah, and I don't know that they need to be the best defense in the league or top five, because this offense can run the ball with both Henderson and Malcolm Brown, and they have a bunch of jet sweeps and guys like Robert Woods rip off big plays. He had a 25-yard run last night. And they make plays in the passing game based on design as much as anything else. Goff, while also inconsistent, occasionally is very sharp. I mean, he can come out and light it up in this offense.
When
what you're going to normally
like
get
good.
Is yesterday, which is 23 of 33 for 220 in a pair. You know, a lot of their passing game is kind of more Sean McVay than Jared Goff, who's in his headset until 15 seconds on the clock saying, you better throw this out route here against this coverage. But regardless, I don't think it matters. Their offense is solid. Their defense is good. And they're going to be a tough out. I really believe mm-hmm. that. You look division by division, you know, at how good these districts are in football. And, you know, we talked about the NFC East for weeks, and we'll continue to, I'm sure. You know, people love to make fun of the division that Washington's in. But if you look at the scoring margin, so points scored, points allowed this year, the NFC West is number one right now after last night at plus 185. By comparison, the NFC East is minus 184 in scoring margin. And ranking the eight divisions, it goes NFC West, the next biggest margin, plus 185 for the West, is the AFC North, actually, plus 88. But then it's plus 57, plus 7, minus 10. The NFC East is minus 184. I just think when you come out of this division to get to the playoffs, whether it's Seattle, Arizona, L.A., San Francisco, three of the four, all four, you're going to be battle-tested for it. Whereas the team that wins the East on accident is going to have to play one of these teams in the 4-5 matchup immediately. So right now, let's say Seattle wins the division, Arizona or probably L.A. finishes second, and that's who the Eagles or the Cowboys or Washington or the Giants are going to play in the first round. And one of those teams, doesn't matter who, is better than whoever wins the NFC East. To your point on the Bears, though, that's a team to me, I can't imagine at the end of this year they're not making some type of front office change. They have bungled the quarterback situation so badly. And you don't get to do that and for years not get it right and keep your job. Trubisky is bad, we know that. They brought in Foles, I thought it was a good idea, and I still think he's an upgrade over Trubisky. It's kind of like what we're talking about here in Washington. Let's just know what we're working with. You might have done better than you were doing before, but you don't have the answer there. And maybe this will be the end, finally, of the Foles conversation. The Jags threw $50 million at him. He was there for a year. The Bears brought him in with the plans of him starting. And last night was not his fault. I'm not telling you that it is. But he is who he is. He's not going to carry Chicago into the playoffs. For some reason, you're not allowed to say that. And that reason is that he won a Super Bowl that time. And so he'll live off that for the rest of his career.
Sure. Yeah, their quarterback situation is bad. And to me, it looks that much worse when we should always remember that they traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. They traded up one spot to get Mitch Trubisky in the same draft that Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson went. I know it's not totally fair because those guys went multiple picks later and everybody missed, right? Cincinnati didn't draft him. Cleveland didn't draft either of those guys. A bunch of people missed on Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and it's irresponsible. I get it, okay? But if you are drafting a quarterback that year, and that's the way you went over a guy with, tell me if this is familiar, really small sample size in college, you know, didn't have that many starts, but sort of was big and had a strong arm and sort of and looked the part, right? Is that familiar to anybody around here? I don't know who we could be describing versus what Pat Mahomes put up versus what Deshaun Watson put up winning. So, I mean, Deshaun Watson won so constantly with so many winning plays, so good. Pat Mahomes, garbage Texas Tech team, putting up a trillion points, yards, and everything else. It looks that much worse. It just does in retrospect. And now you're trying to put a Band-Aid over it with Nick Foles. It's really bad. You're right. They do deserve a front office change after a couple years of trying to Band-Aid that position. They've had a worse quarterback situation than Washington has in terms of franchise history. Washington's had nothing but turnstiles. The Bears have had even more starting quarterbacks going all the way back to the 60s.
Yeah, they didn't have the 3 years where a guy played every game and played pretty effectively recently. I mean, they've just been on that carousel. And the one guy that they committed to over the last several years, it was proven awful. Over and over again, isn't good enough. Jason Wright, the team president of the Washington football team, updated the timeline for getting a name. And I saw this morning, so we'll throw out for a moment the rundown that we had planned because I want to react to this. This came out right before we went on the air. He actually made the closest thing to an announcement as to when the new team name is going to be available to fans. So let's get into that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan at 10:30. We can get into how Kyle Allen's playing, how the offense looks so far in his two games as the full-time starting quarterback. We were going to do that here, but frankly, news broke. So Jason Wright, the Washington football team president, came out this morning to update and provide clarity on the timeline for a name change. He's got a weekly brief that he does on the team's website where he posts some thoughts and gives some, you know, behind-the-scenes analysis and access to fans on some of the things going on from the business side of things. In that brief this morning, Danny, he came out and he said, and this was the big news of the morning, at the team's current pace, we hope to have chosen a new name by the middle of next year, which would mean May, June, July, I would think, 5, 6, 7 on the month spectrum of the 12, which would get you your new name before the start of next season. He came out to clarify this because he had said in an off-the-cuff comment in an interview that it might not be the start of next year that they already have their name. They could be the football team again next season. They might not have the new logo by the start of next year, and a lot of people were upset by that. But he did kind of double down on the idea that it is not a lock that they have this new name and logo for the start of next season, even if they announced the name. Here's what he said. While we won't be able to reveal immediately the name when we choose it middle of next year, choosing the name is only part of the process. For example, let's say we reveal our new name at some point before the beginning of the 2021 season without going through all the detailed design work of a new logo, creating the merchandise, clearing the legal hurdles to secure it all. Not only would that make for a trademark headache, but it would also be an embarrassing and chaotic launch to what should be a proud and poignant moment for the franchise. And if I've heard one thing consistently from you, our fans, it's that you want a professionalized organization not prone to knee-jerk reactions. Making smart business decisions should be obviously the goal. So that's his logic on saying, listen, and he wrote at one point, before I was hired, quote, the organization announced there would be an 18 to 24 month process to establish a new brand, end quote. He also said that when he joined the team, he talked about this being a potentially longer process to ensure more substantive, engaged talks with communities, as he calls them. I'm guessing this is alumni and fans and things like that. He said, what I realize is that we need to say that a little bit more often and that you also need to hear the reasoning behind why it could take so long. So some thoughts from Jason Wright. It sounds like they will have the name picked by the start of next season, but he is not guaranteeing that a logo will be on the helmet, and they're going by that name come September.
Couple takeaways real quick. Jason Wright is a stud. That's my biggest takeaway reading that. There's a level of, I don't know how to say this, but when I talk to people that are really, really smart in their chosen field, right? A lot of times they can't believe they have to explain whatever it is to a peon like me. And they're just so irritated by it, and they use big jargon, and they let you know how smart they are every 5 seconds. Then there's another kind of smart person that speaks to you like a human being, that makes complicated things filtered down so that using terms that you can understand to make the most complicated matters seem as simple as saying 2 + 2 = 4. Jason Wright is the latter, and I'm wowed by that guy. He's basically, in this press release, however you want to call it, manages to work in everything from talking points to actual information to showing transparency to making sure that the right tone is struck to let fans know that, you know, I know some of you guys are angry, and a lot of that's not my fault, but you're angry. You deserve to be, and we care about you. And language of inclusion, Jason Wright's awesome. I just pray that he's allowed to do his job. Last time we had one, Brian LaFemina, he wasn't allowed to do his job. He did it for 7 months and got canned. Jason Wright is great. I hope they keep him around for a long, 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 long time. And I know a lot of people don't care about this kind of stuff. They want to hear about a win on Sunday. They want to hear about multiple wins and championships and divisions and Super Bowls and things. But these are the kinds of processes that this team simply has not had for a long time, where they are transparent. And I'm not saying we should know every inner working. No business works that way. Right? At Johnson & Johnson, they don't get together and let every person know, like, we've decided to cut a bunch of employees this week. Talk to you guys later. No, I mean, there's certain things that are always going to remain private. But you are a public-facing business that involves a lot of people that care about what you do. And to at least show some modicum of, this is what we're trying to do, this is why it's hard, but we still care about you guys and you're important to this process, is delightful. It's a breath of fresh air, I think, to a lot of fans. And I know a lot of people won't care about that, and they just want to, you know, figure out who we're going to draft, and that's cool too. But this is controllable, and they're controlling it well.
Well, I also think it all adds up to wins and losses, honestly. Like, we separate the football side from the business side, as well you should, but there is still a right and wrong way to do things as a business. There is a right and wrong way to treat people. What I have found is that when you have decent people at the top making decisions, and I don't mean correct decisions that they're always right, but doing things the right way, whether it's on the business side or the football side, there's a harmony there that allows you to do things right when you're picking the quarterback, to do things right when you're picking the coach, to do things right when you're deciding to go for it on fourth and goal or not. And it all kind of feeds from the same trough, if you will. I liked the idea, though, that he has, you know, in this section, it says business question of the week. And in italics, he said, so are we really going to have to wait until after 2021 for a new name? Are you an idiot? It's not that hard. Which is kind of what we were saying last week, right? He's kind of speaking to fans who are wondering, why will this take so long? I personally would still say, I want this done before the start of next season. My opinion is I would like to have the name and the logo before the start of next year. I understand that that is very much an expedited timeline. I know that that is difficult. Based on the timeline, that gave them right around 14 months to figure this out from when this all started. He was not here the entire time, so that makes it more difficult. That's just what I would like. If that's impossible, fine. Not going to be overly angry about it. I'm not going to be particularly frustrated. I'm fine with Washington football team. I can do that for two seasons. But if you're asking me, do I think you could pull this off, I'd say yes. I care a lot less about asking Darnarian McCants, with all due respect to Darnarian McCants, like what he thinks about the team name or the alumni. I care a lot less, frankly, about like what the fans in every pocket of the stadium think about the future team name. Everyone's going to have to just get behind this eventually. So to me, this is about picking something that will stick forever, that you're not going to have to change, that is unique, that is cool, involving smart people in the room, and then people are just going to have to, over time, get used to it. All team names are weird when you really sit there and think about them at first. But a couple of things he mentioned that I thought was interesting. He said, these are things that he saw based on his interactions with fans this week. He said, you don't like being referred to as football team in games. Some of you think it's clunky and awkward, and when pundits tease, it pisses you off. He said, I hear you. He then says, we need something to give our organization a jump start. That's another thing he's hearing from fans. He says, the team is in a rebuilding process, and a new name and identity would be galvanizing and exciting for the fans. Just knowing that he knows those things, that he's hearing those things, and then having him actually write them and voice them back to the fans, it is night and day from Bruce Allen, who we never even knew what he was thinking or if he even we asked a million times, has he ever turned on the radio to hear from, you know, a caller's opinion on something? Has he ever read the Washington Post? You don't know. He's just so isolated. And then he gets into this idea that it's not that hard to pick the name where he gives the timeline. So I guess in summation, Danny, I want the name announced next spring, whether or not they're going to be using it. I want the logo out there next spring. Now, he goes on to say why that could be clunky and difficult, and that's fine. That is my preference. He's the adult in the room. He's going to have to do this correctly and properly. But that is my goal. I refuse to believe that in well over a year, we can't pick a new name, get a trademark, and have a logo that starts circulating. So hopefully that's the case. I think it, as someone who's been around this organization and this fan base my entire life, I think at this point it is vital. This group needs something that can jolt them, and I think that would do it.
I think that's well said. I mean, for me, when we referenced his off-the-cuff comment, I guess last week, and I expressed my frustration, I actually just wanted this. I just wanted to know that we're thinking about it. And if you put a gun to my head, I'd say, yes, obviously I know that people are thinking about this sort of thing, but I just want some progress to be made. I didn't want to still be in this fact-finding phase where they're taking kindergartners' drawings on WashingtonJourney.com and, you know, and everybody should hashtag this or tweet Julie Donaldson that. He's basically saying, I got it. We got it. We're working very hard behind the scenes. It's not that easy. This is what I wanted. I basically got that, so I'm good for a little while. I'm ultimately with you. I would like this done at some point just so we can, whatever it is, move on and talk about the stuff that I care about. But this is a nice step for me.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. You guys can weigh in if you'd like on the AAA Always On Call listener lines at 800-636-1067. Next, though, let's get back to football and onto the football field. And Kyle Allen, two starts, two full games now. The offense seems to be ascending. We can guess as to whether or not that's because they're playing more inferior teams, but the bottom line is they're playing better. What do we think of Kyle Allen so far? We'll talk about that next on G&D. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Thanks for making the show part of your day. In the 11 o'clock hour, Ryan Kerrigan's name has come up as a trade candidate. Peter King said that Washington, if they want to put him on the market, could have one of the top steals of the deadline that teams would be interested in. Is that something they should be considering? And by the way, in the 12 o'clock hour today, about 2 hours from now, we're being told right about 12:30 he'll get out of meetings and give us a call. Cole Holcomb, who had such a big game for Washington's defense with a huge interception in the red zone and a sack where he blew up Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to be on the show today. Looking forward to talking to a really good young linebacker coming off a banner game, Danny.
He was great. I'm telling you, that play that he made, the interception's cool, a lot of the tackles are cool. One of my favorite plays in recent Washington football team memory is him blowing up Ezekiel Elliott on the way to a sack. I want that replayed all the time. I want that in a nice little loop when I walk into a room so I can smile. You know, I have various Juan Soto homers, and Anthony Rendon homer off Zach Greinke, Howie Kendrick home runs kind of playing on a mental loop every so often, especially now with the World Series taking place. That sack play by Cole Holcomb is now one of my favorite in recent memory. Just, there's symbolism there. There's excellence there. Everything about it makes me happy. Can't wait to talk to that guy.
Kyle Allen is through two starts that he has finished, right? Two full games. You add in a quarter and change. So we've seen him now for two-plus games as the orchestrator of this offense. He's completing 68% of his passes for four touchdowns and one interception to this point after a turnover-free game against a bad Dallas defense. And it's impossible not to at least add how bad Dallas's defense is into the equation.
Sure.
But in his two full starts now, the offense is averaging not only more points by a few, but over 60 more yards per game at this point. And when you get into some of the advanced metrics and, you know, the expected points added and the chance to win based on the quarterback position and things like that, I mean, it's not close at this juncture between he and Dwayne Haskins. Now, the sample size is still small. Where are we on Rivera's decision and whether or not he's been justified yet by the way Allen has played?
So for me, in my discussion of this, I think we have to have two categories. And here's what I mean. On-field versus off-field. Off-field, based on the leaks and the different reports we know about Dwayne Haskins, seems like this is justified. right? If players are upset and, you know, assistant coaches decide we can't deal with this guy, again, I don't think we should know that, but we do. But based on all that, you got to do something like this, right, is what it sounds like. So off-field, I think we've got that box checked. On-field, I think the coaching staff, specifically Scott Turner, has done something smart. They've sort of started with that Ravens game and have really and truly converted themselves full bore into this offense where everything is really close to line of scrimmage. Again, a couple throws against Dallas are notwithstanding, and a really nice touchdown against the Giants to Cam Sims, again, notwithstanding. But they are majoring in and even picking up a few minor classes in throwing close to line of scrimmage, to screens, to work into the running backs. Their target shares have gone up dramatically. So you look at things like air yards, and they are doing their quarterback a lot of favors. And I think they realize that Kyle Allen is absolutely limited. The things that he does badly have still been on display. He cost them that Giants game with that horrible fumble and a bad interception. And, you know, maybe you could put it on Hopkins, too, for missing a field goal. But whatever. You see my point. They're trying to limit the things that he kills you with, which are sacks, turnovers, et cetera, and they're doing a really good job of it. And when you play a bad defense, you can put up some yards and points that way. So he's played well in that role, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think, by the way, that turnover gene that seems to be a part of him as a quarterback is going to go away. I don't see that happening because I think that is baked in with the DNA, to be completely honest with you. I disagree with your take on the air yards and things. I think that's definitely what they're going to major in for sure. But you just saw it against Dallas. You mentioned other than a couple plays against Dallas and a couple plays against New York. Well, those are the two games where they've had Kyle Allen as a full-time starter. And they have gone down the field, and they have made those throws. They had a 52-yard touchdown to Terry McLaurin. In fact, they had five 20-yard plays down the field as a passing offense this past week, one on a PI of Logan Thomas, four that were completed in the air down past the 20-yard marker. If you look at intended air yards on the season, Allen's to about 6.2 at this point. Haskins was, I think, right above that when he stopped playing. So I'll be curious to see as they play more and they get now an opportunity to kind of get entrenched with their offensive line and feel good about protection and things, where that goes. But the trend is up. But, yeah, for me, I think that there are two conversations. Because I've always kind of felt like, in terms of saying whether or not Rivera was going to be viewed as having done the right thing, I think there's a couple of groups, right? There are people that no matter what, think Dwayne Haskins should be on the field. And no matter what happens, they just say, this is a developmental year. He's a developmental quarterback. Play him. And I disagree with that. But I think the off-field stuff is very obvious at this point. You know, the fine of him, whatever that dumb rule was that he broke about having someone at the team hotel, you know, the little things about that have come out about, you know, how he handled the benching right afterwards until that first Friday. So you kind of see, okay, the maturation that wasn't there. On the field, though, their offense is better. That's very obvious for anybody watching. And they're more successful at staying on the field and moving the ball. And Allen can just do a couple things Haskins can't. I think the big thing that I didn't even anticipate, honestly, I knew he'd be able to make some throws and see some things and just get the ball to receivers that Haskins couldn't. What I'm surprised by, though, is his athleticism and mobility to pick up a 3rd and 9 with a 14-yard scramble to avoid sacks. He had 3 throwaways and 1 throw in the grasp this week that are defined as basically sack-avoiding plays in his 15-for-25 performance. I'm not going to say Dwayne Haskins would have been sacked all 4 of those times. I don't believe that. But I think he would have been sacked at least 2 of them, maybe 3 of them. He's pretty good at that. So what you get with him is what you've seen in his career to me. There's going to be some bad picks. He's going to lose some fumbles. There are going to be some head-scratching plays. I still view him as a backup. I think he is the long-term backup for Washington, and their future starter is not on the roster. But I certainly think anybody who was just open to, well, let's see what the offense looks like now that Rivera's made this change, I think they can see that he made the change, number one, because of the off-field stuff, which is obvious. But let's just take that out of the equation and say that Haskins is a choir boy and has done everything right. The offense is much better right now.
Again, we'll disagree about this, I think, about much better. I know what they did against Dallas, and, you know, everybody's doing that to Dallas. You've seen the ball move slightly better. Yes, I think that's more of an adjustment.
I wouldn't say slightly, though, Danny. They're averaging over 60 yards more a game in those two games.
Right. Again, playing Dallas helps you.
That's fine, and I give you that. But to say that they've been slight, statistically, they've been substantially better.
Right. But again, it started in week four against Baltimore, where they played this way. So you look at an air yards
most
per
of their
attempt,
yards in that
it's
game.
It's the second fewest in the sport, Grant. That's the adjustment that they've made. And it helps when Dallas doesn't cover Logan Thomas, who's wandering around like he's lost in Central Park and can sort of jog for his 30 yards, et cetera.
But they probably don't hit that throw a few weeks ago.
You don't think – I mean, Grant.
I'm not sure that Haskins sees him and throws it to him.
Well, it's not as if Kyle Allen isn't turning down open guys too. They pointed out once on the telecast, and I'm not watching all 22, but the idea that this is like this remarkable transformation for a group that
still
hasn't scored
30 points. I'm not saying that.
Well, the gap isn't that big, is my point. Starting week four, this is what they are. They're this, and that's a lower ceiling type thing. Have they converted more third downs? Absolutely. Is that due to Allen's athleticism? Absolutely.
Massively better. That's a Grand Canyon gap on third down.
That is a big one, absolutely. And is it only Kyle Allen, or is it that they decided to maybe throw early a couple times and get themselves a better third down? They've converted some third longs.
Well, they're throwing 60% of the time on first down with Haskins. Through a month, they were top 10 in the league and throwing on first down.
Right, but are they throwing to Logan Thomas, who's got a 50% catch ratio, or are they finally starting to feature McKissick?
Turner's making Dwayne Haskins throw to Logan Thomas? I mean, some of that is quarterback decision. Some of that is
some of it might be
the ball's
some
in your hands. Where are you throwing it?
Some of it might also be design. Some of it might also be scheme. I mean, my point is, there's a million different things that are happening, and figuring out who you are and what works better is a natural course when you had no time on the practice field, when you had no offseason, when you're getting to know some of these guys, and you're still finding your way as an offensive coordinator in Scott Turner's case. They are now fully embraced and into this thing where they're going to have among the lowest air yards per attempt in the league. They're right there 31st since Kyle Allen took over. And that's with, by the way, a couple bombs against Dallas, even with that, with those first couple games that they played, et cetera. So is it better? Of course it is. It absolutely is. The on-field gap, though, in terms of justifying this decision, you know, again, it's hard to consider that without considering all the off-field stuff.
Right. You're also on record as saying you'll never be okay with it. So I think that, you know, that you're going to find reasons why perhaps they shouldn't have done it or they aren't a whole lot better. But I think most people watching this team right now go, man, this offense is a lot better to watch than it was a month ago. The phones are open for you guys. AAA Always On Call listener line, 800-636-1067. The numbers kind of speak for themselves, but I guess here's the question. In what ways do you think their offense has improved, and does this justify the decision? I mean, the bottom line is they're still a two-win team. They still very likely won't make the playoffs, and if they do, what does that get you? There is still an argument to be made that perhaps you think Haskins was on the ascent. Danny seems to think they found something golden that day against Baltimore and they were about to take flight. Is that how you feel? Grant and Danny on the Fan. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to the Fan. The AAA Always On Call listener lines are open for you at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. 1067. Talking about the quarterback position, two games into the Kyle Allen experiment. Well, I guess two and a half games, really, but two full starts where he has been at the controls of the offense for a full contest, trying to see if it's too soon, if we've seen enough to say if Rivera made the right decision to move on from Haskins. And by the way, if the opinion is, Danny, that they just, like a lot of people might at the end of the season, regardless of what Allen does, might just say they shouldn't have moved on from Haskins. I actually don't think that that's wrong. I understand the logic in that. I mean, you and I advocated at the beginning of this season pretty substantially, keep this guy on the field no matter what. I mean, it's the only thing that matters is whether or not he can play. And I kind of have seen enough to think that he can't. But that having been said, I'd rather get the most information possible to make the best possible decision, because maybe he was about to be a lot better. Maybe that Baltimore game was going to turn the page for him. But I do think there are a lot of people who are going to say at the end of the year they made a mistake no matter what, because it's Kyle Allen. It's not like you just found Tom Brady or something like that. And that is logical enough. I hope those people also, when they watch the game, can acknowledge that this looks a little bit different.
So there were two possible good outcomes, and they chose neither. Option one, and we said it at the time, would have been fine. They won't be at the number two spot again anywhere in the near future to have a great chance to pick a quarterback. There, one's about to make his debut in Tua. The other has lit it up for L.A., and I was wrong about the guy, by the way, in Justin Herbert. You should have traded Dwayne Haskins before the draft. If it, all it took was four games, 23 meetings, and whatever, then you need to know beforehand, the same way you know for a free agent.
But you didn't want to do that at the time. So is it fair to now say that they should have done
yes,
it? Revisionist
because we
history.
Said, in Ron we trust. We said, if he wants Tua, I made us do this topic every time that Tua passed a part of his physical. If Ron wants the guy, he should go get the guy. I 100% said that. I'd go, man, that's tough on Haskins, but I don't care about fairness. If Ron wants the guy, do that. By saying, we're passing up opportunities to draft a quarterback. We're passing up opportunities to pick up Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, whoever you want. You are then committing to a young player in a rebuilding year. You pulled the plug after four games and 28 practices and whatever the number is. I don't care. So what they did was the worst possible thing. That's why I won't forgive this. That's why I'll never say that this was the right thing to do. They messed this up. They had a golden opportunity sitting right there in front of them to do something to solve this position. And they willingly went with the 27th or 28th, maybe 29th, best quarterback in the league after 4 weeks of Dwayne Haskins. That's irresponsible. That's wrong. I will never say that that's okay. Then we get to debate a guy that's in the bottom 10, back in this carousel again, and we're trying to figure out like how much better it is. It's better. And we may disagree on semantics about how much, but that's basically saying this scrap from the table is slightly better than that scrap from the table. It's a futile exercise. You know, Sisyphusian, pushing a boulder up the hill again. They squandered a gold opportunity. I won't forgive that, and that's why I think it's wrong.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I guess for me, I'm more just looking at this, I think, way more in the moment. Here are my options. These are the quarterbacks. Which one is the best? Which one deserves to be on the field? Which one, based on how they work during the week, deserves to lead my offense? And also, just comparing the QBs on a week-in, week-out basis, how has one guy played versus another? So all of the other stuff that you talk about kind of that bothers you from the last several months is not really a factor at this point for me. I also disagree with the idea that they screwed this up because of what they did. I think they inherited a guy that was a first-round pick, and they said, in fact, I know that they said to the people in the organization who were very skeptical about this player and said, I don't know, this isn't the guy. We like some things. We like the arm strength. We like a lot of the things he can do. Let's see. Let us work with this guy. Okay, fine. So then you work with the guy, and you're around him every day for months, and you go, you know what? I'm not sure. But maybe he's a gamer. Let's see what happens. Maybe when these games start, we don't have the benefit of a preseason to see if he makes these mistakes. We don't have a benefit of scrimmages against other teams. All we're seeing is practice. Let's see what happens when the games start. First game comes, and you go, all right, there's a lot we didn't like there, but, hey, this you need to do this different. This, when you get this look, the ball's got to be here. On this, I need you to look on the backside. This guy, the whole reason we designed this play is for this guy on this linebacker. And so then you don't clean it up, and then you don't clean it up again. And at some point you go, you know what? This is not working for us.
Yeah, at some point it was four games
right.
of that, you know? And that's,
yeah.
That's awfully soon. That's awfully soon for a guy that was drafted in the first round with three
I think
head
if
coaches.
You know, you know. I mean, we had
then you need
Chris
to know before
Raybon.
Those four games, Grant. That's where that's the part I just can't get past.
Say it again, sorry.
You need if you knew after four games, you needed to know before those four games.
I just how could they have known? They hadn't
the
seen
the same way
play.
Cliff Kingsbury knew. The same way the new Arizona staff knew.
They picked first overall and had a chance at Kyler Murray. I promise you, if Washington picked first overall and had a chance at Joe Burrow, I promise you they would have taken him.
Well, they picked second overall and had a chance at Tua or Herbert. This is the
you
job.
You hated Herbert, by the way.
Of course, I'm not a professional talent evaluator.
No,
they
but you don't get to now say they
be
should have taken Herbert.
Why
yes,
not?
They could have. They
that's
could
their
have taken
job,
Tua.
Grant. That's
you
the could job.
Have, you could have taken Tua, who had injury red flags out the wazoo, yes. And who is undersized and didn't play in college for most of last season. They could have done that. So if you're upset that they didn't take Tua now, you're allowed to be. That's fine. If
no,
you
no,
think
no,
they
no,
should
no.
have taken Tua, that's
this.
Cool.
I'm upset that they did this. Like if you know after this tiny sample, because all we care about is samples. We care about big samples until we don't. No one's saying Dwayne Haskins is good. The people that like are supporting me are like Dwayne Haskins Stanleys or whatever the hell. I'm not that. What I'm saying is this is a process. You will not have as good an opportunity to pick up a quarterback as you did this year in a draft where there are two guys now, or three guys really, if you count Tua, hopefully he plays well. But who were good? I don't have access to the tape and information. I'm just reading a scouting report the same way you are from some draftnik on Twitter about Justin Herbert. I didn't like him. I was wrong about that. But I, thank God I'm not a professional talent evaluator.
But here's
they
my
need
point.
To be able to figure that out. They failed at this, and there's no way around that.
Well, I don't know what to tell you other than I disagree. You can't.
What do you disagree with? There's no possible way to disagree. They failed.
I've explained it three times.
You have not.
I disagree
there's no
with
explanation.
The fact. Okay. Well, I'm wrong. 800-636-1067 is the number on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Here's a question we can pose to you. Did they fail by not moving on from Haskins before the season started? I think that's the question, right? Danny's saying if they were going to move on after four games, then they should have drafted Tua or Herbert. That they shouldn't have gone through the exercise of even allowing him to play. My point, which is incorrect and flawed, obviously, is that they had never seen him play in their offense, and they didn't know what he is. Them not moving on from him, when, by the way, they had a chance to draft the guy who can win the Defensive Player of the Year award four times, who looks like an outstanding player, was, let's see what this guy is. We don't have to win right away this year. We don't have to win the Super Bowl. So we've already got this guy that the previous regime invested a first-round pick in. Let's see if he could be our quarterback. And if he can't, we'll move on, which is what they did. I don't think that's some irreprehensible, abhorrent, irreparable decision. He can't play, and they decided that after watching him play for a quarter of a season. And more importantly, we talk about games all the time, practices for 70-plus days. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
What's up, guys? Danny Ruye here for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. You could spend a lot of money on a car last year, and if you decide you don't like it after a really tiny sample, it's your right to move on. Ted Britt Ford will be able to help you with that. These guys are the best at what they do. They've been in business for 60 years. That's right, 60-plus years helping folks just like you, just like me in this area. I love that. I am a Ted Britt devotee. 2020 F-150 XLT from Ted Britt Ford. Your F-150 HQ up to $11,100 below the MSRP. 2020 Ford Explorers, 0% financing for 60 months. And this is a plus now. Check this out. Plus $3,500 cash back. Oh, yeah. $7,000 off the MSRP on a 2020 Ford Mustang. How about $6,100 below the MSRP on 2020 Ranger trucks? So many deals, so little time. Let them take care of you, as I said, the way they're taking care of me. I'm a multiple-time Ted Britt customer. When it's time for a new car, you want a Ted Britt Ford, and so do you. Hit them up and tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.